example of the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to use Christ as an example and even implore the readers to have the very mind of Christ when it comes to unity within the church and unity with one another. As we have started in verse number 5, remember what verse 4 said from last week, where the Bible says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That sets apart what is about to be described with an example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've mentioned to you this before, that many times throughout the New Testament, the writers refer to Christ as our example, or the one that has done this, the one that we should follow, and the one that should empower us. The most well-known is probably from Ephesians, where the Bible says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And here we see the example of the humility of Christ. Because honestly, at the very root of all disunity is pride. Is where we want what we want, or we don't want what the other person wants, or we think that what we're doing is the best, or whatever it may be. We could go on and on with those kind of things. And so the Apostle Paul is going to write to this church of Philippi and say, this is the importance of humility, and let me give you an example of humility. Just in case you don't think that you can humble yourself in a particular situation, just in case you think you can't humble yourself in a church or in a family or in a marriage or in a situation that you're in, let me give you an example of humility that would far surpass anything that you would ever have to give up. And he draws from the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. One author says this about this passage. He says that this is among the most glorious sections of the New Testament. In these few verses, we see the great sweep of Christ's life from eternity past to eternity future. Could we find a better example than the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there a better pattern to follow than the Lord Jesus Christ? And as I mentioned already, Paul's picture of the Lord Jesus as a pattern or an example for us to follow of unity and humility. So just a quick little outline. In verse number 5, we see the illustration of Christ. In verses 6 through 8, we see the humiliation of Christ. And then 9 through 11, we'll see the exaltation of Christ. And that's going to take a few weeks to get to. But the author says in chapter number 2, in verse number 5, these first words that are mentioned, he says this, and this is where we'll spend most of our time this morning. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. What is he getting at? And what does that mean to have the mind of Christ? I believe this is something that he is encouraging and even commanding the audience to do. It is continually ongoing. Let this understanding, this thought process, this humility be in you. To have the same mind of Christ. And so he begins this statement in chapter 2 and verse number 5, let this mind be in you. What does that mean? We ask ourselves, what does it mean to have the mind of Christ? Now, this is what fascinates me, okay? And maybe I'm splitting hairs a little bit here, but think of all the things that God possesses that we can't have, right? We're not all powerful. Sorry. You're not all powerful. You're not all knowing. We're not all knowing. We don't know all things. You can't be in more than one place at the same time. You're here, you're not there, you're here, right? So God has attributes and things that we do not possess. There's things that sometimes I wish I was all knowing. I mean, wouldn't that be nice to know everything about what people are thinking and what they're doing, or to be all powerful? To be able to do things by, as Christ and the Word of God tells us, that Christ made all things, and without him was not anything made that was made. There's many things that we see that we don't have. But what this interesting statement here is, this same idea, this same thought process, this same humility we are called to have. He says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. He is encouraging us to be and possess and have the thought process that Christ had in redeeming man to himself. So the idea, there's many different ideas of what this means to have the mind of Christ. Some people say it is simple as having an outlook or an attitude. You might think of it as the way that we live or how we look at life, a humble attitude, a humble outlook, the life that Jesus demonstrated to us, the same heart that Jesus had. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. As I mentioned, it doesn't mean that you become a God in any way, but that we are demonstrating Christ in his attitude and his actions towards others. And sometimes that can be difficult. It's almost like the Apostle Paul knows us, right? He knows that sometimes we can have the wrong attitude or the wrong intentions. You know, I've read a story about, I may have told this before, but about a young preacher that was getting up to preach, and he had all his outline up, and he was ready to go, and he got up behind the pulpit, and the older preacher that was helping him was watching, and he got up here, and he got all mixed up, got his passages confused, and finally just folded his notes and sat down. And the older preacher leaned over to him and said, "Son, if you would have got up behind the podium like you got down behind the podium, then you would have got down like you got up." I know that's confusing. But he's saying, if you would get up with some humility instead of pride, you would go down with the strength of the Lord upon you. Sometimes, even in a marriage, we all have ideas and opinions of things that we think are right. You have two different people from two different backgrounds, from two different homes coming together and living under the same roof. And some people like to squeeze the toothpaste from the middle of the tube. Is that a problem in any marriages, right? Whatever it may be. And there's all kinds of different things that people come up with. And you have to have humility. You have to have that understanding. In a church, with a group of people this size, we all have different backgrounds. We have different opinions. We have different things we've done. But we must look to Christ. And so he says the way to do that, the way to all be going the same direction, is to let the mind of Christ to be in us. Not just changing our behavior, but changing the very way we think. Paul calls us to adapt the very mindset of Jesus Christ. And he's going to give us some illustrations of what that mind is. Christian living begins with Christian thinking. If we think like Christ, we act like Christ. And so he encourages this church at Philippi and the church in Westcliff this morning to let the mind of Christ be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. So this is a command, not just a suggestion. God wants us to develop the mind and the attitude and the perspective of Christ. An attitude, a disposition of thinking. A verse that I quote often from Romans chapter 12 in verse number 2. He says, "Be not transformed to the world, but be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." In a world that teaches self-promotion, pride, and selfish ambition, the Bible teaches humility, service, and obedience. So just as a precursor application this morning, we ask ourselves every day, am I thinking like Christ? Am I acting like Christ? Do I have the attitude of Christ? Is it my mind and my will moving forward, or is it the mind and the humility of Jesus Christ? So here this morning, four quick things that we see demonstrated about the mind of Christ in Philippians chapter number 2. It was a humble mind. A humble mind. He says in verse number 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And then he says in verse number 6, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." We'll discuss that in more detail next week. But he says in verse 7, "But made himself of no reputation." And then he says, "And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." And then in verse number 8, he says, "And being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself." Being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Did you know Jesus possesses all the glory of heaven? all things, and yet he humbled himself. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. Christ did not demand his rights. He willingly laid aside his privilege to serve others. That is the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is a mind of humility. Imagine if Christ was unwilling to humble himself to be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What if halfway through the crucifixion, Christ said, "That's it, I've had enough. I'm done with these Roman soldiers and all these people that are ridiculing and mocking me." And he calls for the angels and wipes them all out. No, he didn't do that. He humbled himself. He allowed himself to be beaten. He allowed himself to have a crown of thorns placed upon his head. He humbled himself. The mind of Christ is a mind of humility. How is our humility as Christian people? Do we demonstrate the humility that we should have? Do we have the mind of Christ in our marriage? Do we have the mind of Christ and the humility in our church, in our workplaces, in our ministries? The mind of Christ is a humble mindset. And I've kind of got to get moving this morning. We had a lot of announcements, and we still have communion and some other things to do this morning. So we have humility. Can we ask ourselves, as we listen to passages such as this, as the Apostle Paul goes to Christ as an example, do we lift ourselves up in pride, or do we seek to have what Christ demonstrated to us with his humility when he came to the earth to save mankind? He humbled himself. So the mind of Christ is a humble mind. The mind of Christ is also a servant's mind. Mark chapter 10 and verse number 45 says this: "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." People may ask, what can others do for me? But we ask, what can I do for others? A servant's heart seeks opportunities to encourage and to help and to bless others around instead of seeking for our own. I don't know if it's, and I have no personal illustrations on this necessarily, or not pointing out anybody in particular, but when's the last time you've been in line at a Walmart and there was a child there in that little seat, you know, they put them in, and they want a piece of candy, right? You ever seen that? You experienced that. And I'm telling you, you can't get that from them for nothing. They got a death grip on that candy that they want, right? And sometimes that's how we are with our pride. That's how we are sometimes. We don't care what else happens to anybody around us. We want what we want. But do we have a servant's attitude? You know, the longer I've been alive, the longer I've been in ministry, I've realized there's a lot of hurting people in this world. There's a lot of hurting people, and there's a lot of opinions, and there's a lot of things all around this world. You know, I wonder if Christians could adopt the mind of Christ and have the humility of Christ and to have the servanthood of Christ, where we serve those around us to help, to encourage, to come alongside. I'll just ask you real quick, who in here has ever had a day you needed some encouragement? Now who's lying? Right? Now, everybody's needed some encouragement. And as Christians, that as a servant, that mind of Christ within us, that we encourage one another. The mind of Christ is a humble mind where we exalt others. We don't have low self-esteem, but we just think of ourselves less. We look out for other people. That's how this whole passage started. Remember, verse 4, "Look not every one on his own things, but every man on the things of others." Is that not what Christ did? Did Christ need a Savior? No, I needed a Savior. Did Christ need a payment for sin? No, I needed a payment for sin. Christ did what I couldn't do. He looked upon my need and acted upon what I needed. And so we demonstrate that in our lives as we have his actions, his attitude in what we do. Number 3, quickly this morning, the mind of Christ is a humble mind. The mind of Christ is a servant's mind. The mind of Christ is an obedient mind. He says this, Verse 8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross." There's a whole lot I want to talk about there, and we will next week, about what it means that Christ is obedient unto death. He had to willingly submit to that because death can have no power over him unless he willingly submits to that. But that's a whole other topic. But he was obedient unto death. Jesus prayed in Luke 22, 42, not my will, but thine be done. Many want the blessings of Christ, but resist the obedience to God in his word. The mind of Christ submits to the will of God. That's what Christ demonstrated. Submitted to the will of God for the redemption of mankind. Let this mind be in you. Well, what mind is that? It's a humble mind. Well, what mind is that? It's the mind of a servant. Well, what else? It's a mind that's obedient to the will of God in our lives. Let this mind be in you. Obedience is not measured with what is easy to do, but when something is maybe difficult to do in our lives. So our minds, he says in verse 5, let this mind be in you. And ultimately, as we continue on through this passage, we see that the mind of Christ leads to exaltation. As we see this coming up in verse number 9, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given a name which is above every name. We want to have the mind of Christ that is humble, that is a mind of service, and a mind that is obedient to the Lord, knowing that we trust in him. Remember what James 4:10 says? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and what? He shall lift you up. A missionary once asked the question, says, what is the secret of your fruitful ministry? He replied, there is only one explanation. I determined long ago that God could have all of me, there was nothing that there was to have. That was his answer. Let me read that again. A missionary was once asked the secret of his fruitful ministry. He replied, there is only one explanation. I determined long ago that God could have all of me that there was to have. Mind of humility, a mind of service, a mind of obedience, recognizing that as we do that, it is God that exalts us, completely surrendering to the will of God. We have communion in just a moment. Let me just give you four applications about this, and we're not done with this passage. We have many more things to discuss doctrinally of what this means, but I wanted to, in context, explain this. Let's just go back, and I'm going to read from Philippians 2, beginning in verse number 1, and let you see the flow of what he's talking about. Verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, he says, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not, he says, verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verse 5, illustration. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ as the example of humility. Christ as the example of a humble mind. Christ as the example of a servant's mind. Christ as the example of obedient mind. The mind of Christ in our lives. That's the key to Christian living. That's the key to unity. That's the key as we look to him and not to ourselves. So four applications, and they're really just four questions. Number one, how's our humility? Do we demonstrate the humility of Christ to those around us? Do we always have to be right in a certain situation? Are we demonstrating humility to those around us? Humility. Are we humble like Christ? Number two, do we serve like Christ? I know that we're talking about different elements and different things, but Christ was the ultimate example of a servant. He came, he gave his life for man. He went to a cross and bled and died for the sins of mankind. There's no greater example of humility and service than Christ. And even in this, the Bible, as Christ said, not my will but thine be done. Do we have the obedience? Do we demonstrate the obedience of Christ in our lives? And then number four, and it kind of wraps this thing back around, are we thinking like Christ? Do we, as we live our lives and our marriages, do we have humility or pride? In a church, do we have humility or pride? In our workplaces, do we have humility or pride? Paul's commands, he says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ. He is God and he humbled himself. There's nothing made that he didn't make. He made the wood they nailed him to. He fashioned the hands that held the hammer. He designed the brain that invented the nail that would drive through his hands upon that cross. That's humility. And yet sometimes as Christians we can forget all that Christ has done and put ourselves on a pedestal as though, oh well, my rights are more important than what Christ went through. As a church, as Christians in this world, I'm telling you, the way to see God work and move is if we practice this passage of Philippians 2. Will we let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus? Let's turn to our neighbor and say, that's what I want. I want the mind of Christ. I want the mind of Christ. Now do it again and mean it this time, because I shocked you for just a moment. Turn to your neighbor and say, pray for me that I'll have the mind of Christ. That's what we want. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.